Well, I hope everyone here had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving Day on Thursday. Hope it was a great time with friends and family. Hope there was lots of delicious food on the table. Hope it was really relaxing on Thursday for you. And on Friday, on Black Friday, I hope that if you went to the mall, if you went to the department store, you got home without too many bumps and bruises. You know, every year on the news, we see some of those videos of people fighting over big screen TVs or duking it out in the consumer appliance section. And it's really sad. Every year, today, this year I was on Twitter watching them live just for a few minutes. And I was like, my goodness, what are we fighting over here? What is this all about? Now, I'm not a big shopper. I like to save. I know you spend to save somehow. That works out on Black Friday, but I'm very happy to stay home on Black Friday and do some shopping online later on. You know, the commercials leading up to these holiday sales events, I think they really teach us a lot about what we're living for or not in today's culture. What kind of kingdom am I desiring to serve? Because most of these commercials selling all kinds of different goods is basically, and no offense to any advertising or marketing people here, but let's be honest, a little bit of psychological warfare. A little bit of overcoming your inhibitions and saying, oh yeah, it's true. I do want the H5 2000 slicer and dicer again this year. Yes. Right? Commercials have a way of trying to tell us that what they're presenting on the screen is true, and it's going to satisfy the deepest desires of your being. Right? So think about two of these. The classic commercials, the cheeseburger ad and the SUV ad, okay? The cheeseburger ad shows that melted cheese coming off, the steam coming off the bun. It's just dry ice. And they want you to think it's true. It's not really food. You know, when you watch that, when you're hungry for that cheeseburger, that advertisement with music and bells and whistles tells you, if you buy this cheeseburger when you're hungry, it's gonna satisfy the deepest desires, right? I mean, something about that is trying to be conveyed, right? This equals happiness. Believe us, it's true. Or the SUV ad, you know? If you buy this nice SUV, life's gonna be great. You know, you're driving down the coastal highway in the twilight and see the person gripping the steering wheel, and the message is, when you grip this synthetic leather steering wheel driving down the road, you'll be satisfied. Life's gonna be good, right? Is that true? That's the question we have to ask with every commercial, right? Is that true? Is it real? Or is this a little bit of psychological warfare and persuasion here to get me to buy something? Because let's be honest, if there was really truth in advertising, some of those burgers, one quarter of the time, the burger commercial would have a really crumpled up bun. It won't be steaming. There'd be some brown dried lettuce on the side. I mean, that's a quarter of my burgers I buy. You know, that's the truth. Or the SUV, I mean, the SUV ad, you can buy that SUV, but is it gonna make you super popular at work? Not necessarily. People still might not like you. Is that gonna make you have a great relationship with your kids, with your spouse? No. Is it true? Will I really be satisfied if I buy into what you're showing me? What is true and what is real? This is the question our gospel begins to get at today. Our tradition of spirituality gives us three kinds of commercials that are trying to sell us something at a deeper level of the spirit. And the tradition calls them the world, the flesh, and the devil. Three commercials that try and tell us, if you buy into this, it's true and you'll be satisfied. Now, the interesting thing about Christianity is Christianity sees all these things as made originally good by God. The world is made good and beautiful. The flesh, our very bodies, are good and beautiful. And we even believe that even this dark power who is in the world and his forces that we call the devil, even the devil initially was created as a beautiful being of light by God who went astray. The world gives us all kinds of messages and wants us to buy into the world's priorities. But so often, it's a deception. There are many good things in the world still, but there are many bad things. Is it true is the question we ask. We're called as servants of the King to influence the world, to push it towards the good, towards the true, towards the beautiful. We're called to be influencers in the world, to change the narrative so the commercial actually is true, that everything in the world can be redeemed. There's also the flesh. By that, the scripture speaks about our human nature and our drives and our urges. Again, initially made good by God and in harmony, but because of the fall, the flesh wants to master the spirit. My instincts and drives want to master my mind. And so we're called as servants of the King to not be mastered by the flesh, but rather to master the flesh. This isn't a good sense of having a proper dominion and harmony over our urges, our human instincts, our emotions, our appetites. We're called to be self-possessed and by God's Spirit. So we're called to influence the world and ask, is it true? We're called to even ask the desires of our body, is this desire leading me to something that's true and good? We're called to possess ourselves, to be masters of ourselves. And finally, the evil one, we are not called to dialogue with or to influence. We're called simply to renounce. We renounce Satan and all his works and all his empty show. The King will overcome this false prince at the end of time. But in God's providence, he allows him to have a certain kind of dominion right now until the end will come. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they try and sell us lies. And we're called to be discerning and ask, is it true? Is it totally true? Is it totally false? Is there a truth in there, but that's mixed with error? Think about in your life, when's a time that you bought into a lie unknowingly? What was the biggest lie someone ever sold you? Think of that right now. Time when you thought, oh, this is true, so now I can begin to plan and build my life on this. The longer that goes on, when the truth comes out, as it always will, it always eventually will. If we don't build on things that are true, then what we build can crumble so easily, can fall through so quickly. Is it true? In the gospel, we have this very fascinating distinction between Pilate and Jesus, and they speak about the truth in their interchange in the Gospel of John. And Pilate is wondering, is it true that this rabbi, this Jesus, who I've heard of, roaming around the countryside, is it true that he's the King of the Jews? Because nothing would seem to suggest it. He's beat up, he's been betrayed, arrested, he's already scarred and bleeding, and he has no armies. Pilate has all kinds of armies and brute force at his disposal. His truth is that it is right for me to reign because I have the power. I have the power, I have the ability. That's what's true for me, and therefore I'm in charge here. He looks at Jesus, doesn't see any armies, doesn't see any badges on his uniform, any fancy clothes. People say, you're the King of the Jews? And Jesus admits it. Jesus allows him to speak this, but he says, my kingdom is different than what you think. Because the kingdom that you think is true, the kingdom that you think is truly everlasting, is built on force and power. That's the bill of goods you've been sold. Jesus will go to the cross without armies. He will not allow the angels to take him off the cross. He will not destroy those who are executing him. He is a king who allows himself to become totally powerless, stripped of all goods, stripped of all possessions, without much influence or popularity when he gives his life. Jesus' truth is that the powerlessness of love in the face of evil will always be victorious. He is the truth itself. He is the true word of God. He is truly love incarnate. And when we choose to live in the truth of Jesus Christ, it can feel powerless. Our possessions, our force, our power, our popularity, they can all be things that we can guard ourselves with that make us feel powerful, make us feel like I'm in charge of my personal kingdom, however far that extends in my life. But really the truth is that when we sacrifice for love, when we extend ourselves to confess what is true, when it is unpopular, when it hurts, when it's a sacrifice, the powerlessness of truth is the most powerful thing in the world. The powerlessness of truth. Here's the truth. It stands on its own. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to live by it. That is the most powerful thing in the world. And Jesus, who is truth itself, will one day rule over all things, and all knees will bow before him, whether willingly or unwillingly. Christ has set us free for love, brothers and sisters, and the truth is that we can love each other with the love of Jesus. We can influence the world for good by the Spirit. You have the power within you to resist evil and sin and falsehood. You have it within you by your baptism. It's the gift of God. As we step into the world this day, as we bring the love of Christ outside of these walls, may we always ask of every message that comes our way, is it true? Is this of Christ? Is this leading to the everlasting kingdom? Or is just all just a bunch of screen effects and cinema magic? We are servants of the King, and the kingdom will last forever. And this is eternal truth.